My dear friends of Christ, the visitation of the wise men. Though it's a familiar story, it's the celebration of Epiphany. And tonight we pay attention to the wise men. Now, how many of you have seen those nativity scenes where there's always three wise men? But you see, the reality was, were they wise men? Because Scripture calls them magi. And magi is also where we get our words magic and magician. So what really were they? We really don't know. However, we are amazed at the gifts and the assumed by their deception of Herod by returning home by a different way and avoiding the city of Jerusalem. I found it interesting that Epiphany, aside from Easter, was really the first festival day for the church in the early church. I thought it would probably be a different day of the year, but it was Epiphany. I find that interesting because the church today really kind of overlooks the Epiphany season all kind of together. Well, it shows up on the bulletin, but very few churches practice Epiphany on the 6th of January. Epiphany, what does it mean anyway? It means manifestation or shining forth. And the season of Epiphany deals with the first revealing of the glory of Jesus Christ. Epiphany is the Emmanuel, the God with us, or as one member told me this week, the enfleshment of Jesus. This year, I want to focus on the visit of these magi. You know that song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." It's a famous Christmas hymn, isn't it? But wait a minute, there's a problem with it. Were there three kings? We don't even know the exact number. The only thing we know is the number of gifts that the magi brought, but they're in the plural, they're wise men. And so we know there's more than one, but was there two guys toting three gifts or a whole horde of people and they just selected three to deliver them to Mary? Those gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and the Bible says they were wise men. Well, besides, these kings were technically not really kings. In fact, they were magi, and magi was a kind of a word that was used for those who collected knowledge. And in those days, before the internet, it was fairly possible for one man to gain all the knowledge of humanity in one head. It was amazing. Today, that would be literally impossible. But these men specialized in knowledge. They may have been royalty, but we don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't say so. We do know that they came from the east, at least somewhere, because Scripture says so. And we do know that they followed a star. Scripture also says that. And we do know that they knew Jewish Scripture, at least probably Numbers chapter 24, 17, that says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Sheph." From that, they got the fact that a star would rise and it'd be the sign of a king. See, I guess these wise men knew about the prophecy. When they saw that star in the constellation of Judah, now we know it today as Leo, they saw it was the Messiah, the coming of a promised king, which really deflates all who said that the Messiah was never expected. And it really was unexpectable. He was kind of on the scene. Nobody really knew his coming. Really, the wise men did. And we can be sure that they understand that Jesus Christ was more than just a king. He was also the Messiah based upon the gifts that they brought. They brought gold, which is fit for a king. They brought frankincense, which was the incense burned for worship. And they brought myrrh, which was used as a burial ointment. They knew that this king's destiny was to die to achieve his mission. And they came to prepare Jesus. Prepare them with his gifts of rare and precious gifts. And carrying that prophecy of understanding of the Magi was really an act of faith. But think about it. These men were not Jewish. In fact, they came from a foreign land. They did not know exactly where they were going. They were thinking probably Jerusalem because that's where the Jews are from. He's the king of the Jews. But they didn't know exactly where they would find him. And so upon arriving in Jerusalem, they asked around, where's the king of the Jews to be born? They assumed that the Jews would be looking eagerly for this one proclaimed by the constellation of the new star, and they were quite a bit perplexed when Herod the king seemed unaware. They really expected to find this baby king in the palace in Jerusalem, but that's not where they found him. They must have been completely and utterly confused by the ignorance of Herod. But the scripture doesn't say so. They must have been overcome and puzzled that this great king would be born in the company of a poor carpenter and his wife in a little town called Bethlehem. But they don't say anything about that either. They had been led to faith by God's word that had been spoken, and they let nothing stand in the way. When they found the child, they worshiped the child. When they found the child, they expressed their faith in the child by the gifts that they had given, and then they left, rejoicing. However, cautious, because the angel had warned them of the plot of Herod. So what do the wise men have that we don't? I say absolutely nothing. They had the Old Testament Word of God. They were not Jews, but they understood the Scripture. You are not a Jew, but yet you understand the Scriptures. They understood the prophecy that puts the lie of those who suggest that Jesus Christ could not be expected. And they needed, all they needed was the Word of God Himself. I don't think the Magi were much different from you and I, nor do they have anything that we don't have. They knew God's word, and they believed it. When they saw a sign, they followed it. They didn't let distance stop them, or hardships, or Herod. They proceeded anyway. Nor did they let the poverty and the humility of the condition they find this Christ child in to dissuade them. They read the word, they followed the word, and they believed the word. If you take nothing home from this tonight, then that is enough. They read the word, they followed the word, they believed the word, and as a result, they saw the Savior face to face. And they were Gentiles. In fact, Epiphany is often called the Christmas of the Gentiles. You see, these men were on a faith journey. They had read God's word, and they followed His word. Like the Magi, you and I are also on a faith journey, I believe. All we know about Jesus is found where? In His word. We were not eyewitnesses thereof. We believe it because it's recorded in God's word. And we also believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit working through that word, as did the Magi of old, we believe that we too are on a journey. However, we also must live on the basis of what the word of God says and what we believe. See, they traveled hundreds of miles. They brought gifts, rare and precious though they be. They worshiped and they rejoiced. And my question on this Epiphany is, can we do any less? We must travel in our world by faith and faith alone. You and I have the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, His life, death, and His resurrection. We also must live as those who passed beyond the things of this world, particularly the evil things of the world. Not letting the evil dissuade us from our faith or claim the victories of Christ. The fact of the matter is that you and I need to confess as the Magi did, but not in the way they did. We must confess Him by our words and our deeds, but we can learn from the Magi. They confess by their gifts. And this evening we confess Christ by what we will give to Him and for Him and by what we're unwilling to withhold from our Lord. You see, they confessed by coming and seeing and worshiping. Tonight, don't you do the same thing? Following God's word on that journey of faith, you have come, you have seen, and you also have worshiped. We confess together that Christ, by going as far as we need to in order to find Him, proclaimed clearly and honestly through the Word of God. We confess Him by receiving Him in His holy sacraments, which lie on the altar yet even this evening. See, the irony I see is that as the wise men followed the Word of God, they ended up seeing Jesus face to face. Tonight, as we gather in this place, as we follow the Word of God, and as those words are spoken, that this is my body, this is my blood, you also have that privilege of seeing Jesus Christ face to face, to receive that forgiveness, life, and salvation that He died to give you. So I'd suggest that you and I just celebrate. We celebrate the feast of the Epiphany. Let us join with the Magi of old on their journey of faith to see Him who was born King of the Jews. Oh, and by the way, as the Savior of all. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the Magnificat. We stand together.